welcome to another episode of the Geeks for the Win podcast, the podcast where we cover all things geeky. This is episode 37, and I am your host, William, known as PoeticSoul44 online, and I'm joined with my co-host, Stuart,
known across the internet as Casual Terror,
and the diva, his words, not mine, Henry.
What's going on, people? This is Knox.
Yeah, his words, not mine. He called himself a diva. So, since he said that, I just had to introduce him like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you basically gave me permission to.
Well, it's me that the reason why the show isn't recorded yet and up on iTunes, because I've been changing the time several times, and they've been so gracious to accommodate, you know, my deviciousness, if that's a word.
Well, we've all had problems. Yeah. Had to reschedule for some
life,
some reason or another. Yeah, life, not just the board game. I guess we can start on some video game impressions. We got quite a bit to go through. Some will be a lot shorter than others, but the Halo Reach Defiant map pack. You want to start since you're the Halo fanboy, Henry?
Oh, do I? Yeah. Well, everybody knows the Halo map packs, the Defiant map packs came out. When was that? That was March the 15th, I believe, right?
I think so. Yeah, week.
March 15th or last week sometime. Surprisingly, I mean, the community. You know, I get this gamer peer pressure or something, but a lot of the community members bought this map pack. We were in a party. I think it was me, you, Phoenix, Ace Black,
Scarfinger.
Yeah, Scarfinger. I mean, it was just tons of people on these map packs. I mean, I don't know what it is about these map packs. I mean, but I guess we can kind of get into it. But these map packs were not made by Bungie. They're actually kind of the first impressions that we kind of get from 343. They were actually, you know, done at their studio. So this kind of gives us an idea of what we're going to be able to see in upcoming Halo games.
Yes. And after playing them, I haven't played too much because, you know, besides that one night, not a lot of people have been playing it. I'll log on and not see much people playing it. So we definitely got to play them a couple more nights, maybe this week or whatever. But after seeing these maps and playing them, I'm ready for Halo 4.
Oh yeah,
because these maps are just amazing.
Yeah, I was talking in the party, and like I was saying, like, these maps feel terribly Halo, but they don't feel like Bungie. Like, everything's not so, how can I explain it? Like, everything's not perfect. Like, it's not everything's not, you know, clear cut. Everything's not perfect. Sometimes in the maps, I mean, you kind of get, you know, disoriented in certain areas, but that's kind of on purpose, you know, because they want to have people going to different parts of the map. They don't want people camping. They don't want people, you know, congregating in certain spots of the map. So you'll find yourself in a totally different area, and there are different passageways to get to different areas on, you know, at least the two multiplayer maps that we played. I guess you want to just start with the different maps. We can start with Condemned. Condemned is the smaller map. It's good for about 6 to 12 people. You can do this one, of course, Team Slayer, stuff like that. You can do Capture the Flag. Not Capture the Flag, but Stockpile is a good, pretty good multiplayer matches to play on here. We played a couple zombie modes on here, which was really fun.
That was a lot of fun. Especially with the, isn't it like anti-gravity area in the middle of the map?
Yeah, the middle, it's anti-grav. So it's not completely zero G, but it's enough to kind of, like, when you go in there, like, you really don't expect for it to be, you know, almost semi-zero G whenever you go in there. But then all of a sudden you jump and you're like flying across the room in some kind of adjacent way. And you know, it was pretty craziness, especially when you're playing Slayer or something like zombies, where you're trying to actually get away or kill your opponent. That was pretty fun. I guess the next one that we played, I think it's called Highlands or something like that.
That was a huge map.
Yeah, that map was huge. I think we had 16 people in. No, we had 8 people in the party, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a full 4-on-4 crew, and it was still, you know, big. I mean, we did a Slayer match of 25 kills, and it took us almost a good 25 to 30 minutes just to get through that one match. So it's a pretty big map. I mean, the map looks clean. What they describe it as, and this is the reason why I guess the Halo universe or the lore of it is that everything Halo is related to the campaign or it's all canon to the story. So when we talk about Condemned is an orbital station that's looking at the planet Reach getting glassed. When we talk about Highlands is an old training facility where they train the Spartans at and everything, and you can see kind of the old rummageness of it and how it was abandoned and things like that. So that's what I like about it, is that all the maps that you see has some small part to do with the actual game. And I can tell you, I was dying a couple times just trying to watch stuff out in the, you know, out in the outskirts of the map going on. The two ships in the background, they were, you know, blowing up stuff. Me and Ace Black were just sitting there talking about the scenery, you know, getting shot in the head, you know. But Ace is used to that, so it doesn't matter. So shout out to Ace.
Oh, I got some Ace stories for you later on, but
I got some too.
I definitely like these maps. I mean, I think these maps are some of my favorites out of all the maps, honestly. And I'm really excited about, you know, 343 doing the next Halo game. I know they're going to do the Halo 1 Combat Evolved remake, so that'll just be the same levels, you know, just look better. But I can't wait for them to make, you know, maybe another map pack, of course, to see what else they can do, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great that 343 is getting their feet wet with, you know, making, because I really believe Bungie's trying to really, this is really good for them, because they're going to be working on the new project, which is going to be for all consoles. But this is good for 343 is because they get an opportunity to kind of step into the boots of Bungie and take over and start implementing their own style onto things to get people used to the 343 style and way of doing things. If they can keep up the community behind it and the level of multiplayer preciseness as far as the multiplayer matchmaking, I mean, they got it made. I mean, they have, the system is already there. The Halo universe is vast. That's already there. I mean, they have the storyline behind all these different things. If they can just cater to that, which I think they will, because when you watch these dev diaries for like 343 and everything, like these are the nerds that left Bungie to go specifically work on Halo. Like, these are the Halo fans. Like, you know, they eat, sleep, breathe, you know, Halo, and that's what they do. Which so I think that they're going to do a magnificent job, because they're not. It doesn't feel like when they talk about Halo, it doesn't feel like they're bored of it or they're jaded. Like, so many times I watched Bungie interviews within like the past year when they're talking about Reach and everything, it just kind of felt like it was kind of ho-hum. They're just doing this because they're under a contract by Microsoft to do the last game, whatever. Even though Reach, I can't discredit Reach. Reach is a wonderful game, but I think it's time, you know, it is most definitely time for them to pass the torch to people who are actually really, really passionate about it.
Oh yeah, it's, you know, I'm definitely not worried about the next Halo game by them, because, you know, like you said, they are the Bungie Halo guys. So I'm definitely not worried about anything coming from them.
Oh yeah, and we actually forgot the last map. The last map is an actual firefight map, which is actually pretty big in itself. It can accommodate. I was playing with my brothers. It can accommodate up to about 3 or 4 vehicles at one time, and it's almost like an oval shape, but not really. But the last map is a firefight map. That one was pretty cool too. Have you got a chance to play that one yet, Poetic?
We played it, you, me, Phoenix, and I think Knucklehead. When the rest of the people left, we ended up jumping into that.
Oh, okay.
You don't remember?
Oh yeah, that was the one where I just made up. That was a custom match, right?
I don't remember, but we just jumped into it to see what the other one was real quick.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was the custom match that I made, and it was me, you, Phoenix, And who else? Was it Knucklehead?
I think it was Knucklehead.
Yeah, so we were all playing that final map. And, I mean, you know, I put it on Heroic just to kind of test the waters. And, you know, we messed around with it for a little bit. And, I mean, the map is awesome. But in this map, you can't perch anywhere, like, not that I've found so far. Like, I mean, you have to kind of – I mean, you have to really kind of check your corners and have people that are kind of good with you. Because there's no way to really hide. There's no high spots that they can't really get you at. Because
they come out on all sides, really.
Yes, especially when those secondary waves come out. You know, when the jackal snipers come out, and the brute chieftains, they have all the armor that can toss grenades pretty high. When those waves start to come, it starts to get really frantic.
Definitely, and it's another big map. I think that's one of the first things we mentioned was it was huge when we. When we jumped into it, it's large, and I mean, it's like you said, you can't just perch from one place because like enemies will come from all four sides. So yeah. if you're aiming, you know, one way and shooting, they could be coming from behind and shooting from down below. If you're up top on the, if you're up top and. We ended up having to go into that one little room.
Yeah, the one
and hide.
Yeah. Yeah, there is one room on top of the stairs that you can kind of hide in, but it's got two entryways. So unless you have somebody who's a good snipe, or unless y'all have stacked up on a couple of grenades, even that room gets a little bit frantic, especially when you have to have the elites just charging in at you. And I mean, they're terribly smart. I mean, everybody knows about the Halo, you know AI. I mean, they will come in there, and I mean, they'll group up and they'll flank you on the other side. So, you know. I mean, it's pretty good though. The only problem is that when you do matchmaking, like you can rarely get into that map because not everybody has the map pack. So if you go into firefight, you know, with randoms or matchmaking, don't expect to kind of see that map unless you go to like a custom game, or if you're in a party with four people that actually have the actual map, then it'll open that playlist up for you.
Yeah, but if you're
overall, the maps are good though.
If you're listening to this show, then you don't really have that problem because you know you can just basically ask us to play if you ever want to, or you can. There's Zabari's gamer ID sheet spreadsheet where you know it's got everyone who has Halo Reach and you know.
Oh yeah, and shout out to Zabari too. He's actually got a new Twitter. I think it's is it @ZReviews. He's going to be doing a bunch of reviews for downloadable game titles. So, you know, all those games that are downloadable that you have questions about, he'll be coming out with new reviews for that. So shout out to Zabari in the section of ZCast.
Yeah. And you know, like we said, we had like eight people who got the DLC, not to mention, Paladin, I think he picked it up too. Cause he finally got too. His copy of Halo Reach. So, you know, a lot of people have it. So, you know, I guess that's the great thing about having a gaming community or being part of one.
So I should pick it up then.
Yeah, probably.
I would say, yeah. I would say because Paladin, he was asking which one should he pick up, the Noble Map Pack or the Defiant. I didn't get really to tell him in detail, but I told him the Defiant just simply is that because – the Defiant, you get a firefight map and you get two multiplayer maps. And pretty much the community is going to be playing the Defiant for, you know, a pretty good while because it's the newest map. If you absolutely just love multiplayer, the Noble Map Pack is no shade of gray. I mean, it's a really, really, really good map pack. I just see going forward a lot of people buying the Defiant because of that extra firefight that you get. Because unlike other multiplayer shooters or whatever, I won't bash anything, but you know, I mean, firefight is awesome because of the fact that, I mean, the AI is so terribly smart. I mean, you're not just shooting, you know, dumb enemies. Like they're actually coordinating, getting together, fighting against you, and you can feel it.
Yeah, and it's 800 Microsoft points, $10.
Yep, $10.
I don't know how many new achievements, but there's a couple. So yeah, I haven't even looked at the achievements for it. Honestly.
Yeah, me either. I haven't looked at them. I was just so engrossed in playing.
Yeah, I honestly, I don't know why I picked it up. I just decided, you know, I have Halo. I need a reason to play it. Everyone, you know, everyone's going to probably be playing this, so why the hell not?
Yeah, and shout out to DJ Reigns, too, because I know he gets a lot of flack to because he writes about Halo all the time. But hey, man, if anybody's out there, you have Halo, just sit on your shelf, not playing in the community, not playing, you can always hit me up. I'm always on Halo all the time. I play Halo at least twice a week. So.
Oh, definitely. I always see you playing Halo.
Yeah. I remember that one tweet when I first signed up my Raptor account on my games. It said, you know, Henry is playing Halo for the first time, and you're like, that's a lie or something like that.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, that's definitely a lie. Yeah. Maybe the first time today.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely good quality. And it's glad to see they're only charging $10 and not 15 like, you know, others. Like, you know, some other DLC, like Call of Duty. Although I think Call of Duty's new map pack was worth it. But, like, the Modern Warfare 2 map packs, those, I don't think they were worth it. But
yeah, and to be fair, though, they are technically giving you 5 maps. You know, the other 2 were recreated, and then the 3 were brand new. So you're getting more in that package. But it's just that, I don't know, man. It's just that 1,200 Microsoft point price, that $15 price point, it's just something in my head just doesn't let me buy it. Like, I just can't push myself to just buy that.
You mean the Call of Duty map packs?
No, I mean anything 1,200 Microsoft points. Like, if something is 800, like when the X-Men arcade came out, it was 800 points, no question. Went home the first day, 800 points gone, just like that. Because I think it's just I don't know, it's something in my head that just rings, you know, if it's $10 or less, buy. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely feel the same way, because when you go from 10 to 15, that's a 50% increase. Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely make sure I rarely buy $15 stuff. So, I mean, it took me so long to get Castle Crashers just because I was waiting for a sale. Because I think I missed a couple of the sales, so I had to keep
waiting.
Yeah,
they ran a sale on that thing, like, what, 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, I picked it up the last sale they had it, because there's no way I was going to pay $15 for it. Because yeah. I knew they'd have another sale once it became some holiday or some whatever.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Stuart.
I have a hard time buying $15 games, too.
Well, anything $15, mainly, unless it's something like really good. Like,
yeah,
I think the only thing that I purchased that was $15 was the Gears of War, the All Fronts collection, where it gave you everything. It gave you the downloadable DLC, all the maps. It gave you the bonus content and the cutscene.
Oh, that was $15?
Yeah, when it was $15, and I paid for that. But you got a lot of content. You got all that for $15.
I picked it up for for 800 Microsoft points.
Yeah,
$10.
I know. I seen that.
It's $10 now, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why I asked, because I didn't know it was $15, because I stepped away from Gears for a while. But, yeah, it's definitely that when you reach 15, you're got people scratching their heads, thinking whether or not it's worth it or not, there's a lot of crappy content out there, games and stuff that price themselves $15 that I really couldn't believe.
The next one.
I was about to say
you had bought it. That one's not $15, is it?
I think it is. I could be wrong.
No, it's not.
I want to say no.
Yeah, it's 800 Microsoft points.
Okay.
That game is
Full House Poker.
There you go.
I've talked about it a little before, because when we announced it, or when we announced the what was it? What are they calling it? The Full House Party or
House Party
or whatever? Yeah. I was in the beta. I was talking about it, and I had a lot of fun in the beta, so I definitely decided to pick that up. Did you pick it up, Henry? I know you said you were going to.
That peer pressure is getting to me, because I know Big Pimpin picked it up. You picked it up, and
Starfinger,
a couple of people.
Yeah.
So I'm probably gonna go ahead and pick it up. I'm probably gonna pick it up tonight and check it out or whatever. Just small note: Mass Effect Arrival is coming out. The last DLC to get you in Mass Effect 3 is coming out. It's on keysforthewin.com, so go visit the website and look it up.
Oh, definitely.
But back to Full House Poker. But yeah, I'll probably go ahead and pick it up because I don't really know how to play poker, so it'll be fun to play with you guys and kind of learn and just kind of just, you know, mess around or whatever.
Oh, definitely. And there's, you know, you can unlock avatar items.
Like, yeah, I've seen that too.
Mm-hmm. I have a Full House Poker hoodie on right now, and it's pretty cool. Because I won't buy avatar items. If I'll unlock them from games, but I refuse to buy them because I don't want to waste $5 on some fake, you know, lightsaber for my avatar. I don't know. I just have a problem with fake clothes.
Hey, man, they get you sometime, man. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Don't worry. Trust me. I've been tempted a few times, but, you know, I went all out when they first introduced it, and I'm sticking to my principles because and it's hard, especially when they released all that stuff for St. Patrick's Day.
I seen that.
Oh, I wanted to get
a. Did you see the I think it was like a Creature Day sale or something like that. Everything was marked down to like 80 points. I'm like, oh my god, yeah. I want a dragon.
But I mean, the way I look at it is, you know, I could be using, you know, that $5. You know, there's some people who spent like, you know, bought so many different things that were $5 each, and I could just be using all that money on actual games like Full House Poker. But that's a plus. It, you know, unlockable avatar items. It's got the leveling ups. You know, you earn experience from each rounds and stuff, and you level up, and I think you can get new stuff for your in-game character through that.
You also have a persistent pot too.
Yeah.
Which you earn offline, you can take online.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is. They had DLC for it. They had some type of downloadable something for it that was free, like day one or whatever. Download for it that was free. So I downloaded it. I didn't really check, you know, too in deep what it was. I just saw it.
It was free, so you got it.
Hell yeah, I'll take any. If it's free, I'll take three. But what is it? Full House Poker Texas Heat Spring 2011. I don't know what that is. Maybe that's a roster, or I don't know. Maybe that's a room or
something. Well, they say that it's a different game type. I guess Texas Heat is like, I guess it's a little bit faster or something. Because I was watching all the little trailers for it and stuff like that, and they were explaining the different game modes and what you can do and all that stuff. So.
I'm looking at it now.
Pretty good.
Fast-paced poker game that brings thousands of players together at the same time. So yeah.
When you're playing a multiplayer, because this is supposed to be like the spiritual, you know, successor to 1v100. As it is right now, how many people do you see playing at one time? You know, is it picking up? You know, now since they're charging for it, do you see this kind of sticking around for a longer period of time and growing into something bigger?
I think people will pick this up, yeah, because poker is one of the most, you know, people love poker. It's a very popular game, and you know, I think the way they have it set up, I don't know how many people are playing at once. You just basically see your tables and you see other tables, but you can't see like every single table, you know.
Yeah,
because that would just go on and on if there's thousands and thousands of people playing. But there's about eight people per table, I think.
Yeah.
So and you know, like I said, in the beta, if you lose your money, you get demoted down to like the, if you're at the double diamond table, you'll get demoted to like the single diamond table, or you know, just diamond table, and you can get, you know, go to the triple diamond table and whatever. And so that's pretty fun. They actually have like single player type mode too, like I guess a campaign or so, something along there. So and that's there's achievements tied down to that, I think. I'm not sure what all the achievements are for what, but it seems like there's most of them are for the single player stuff.
Oh, wow, I didn't notice that.
Tried one of the online kind of get-togethers. I don't know what they call them. The prime time stuff. Like, you know, I know that there was, you know, an amateur's night, a ladies' night, you know, only lady avatars, a guy's night out.
Yeah, you get, I think with that you get, what is it, extra experience? Guys' night, guys get extra experience, like, you know, per match or whatever, you get extra experience and stuff like that. I haven't tried that on the full game, but I did do that on the beta because they did have the beta and they did show like the schedule, like, yeah. I think, you know, weeks at a time, like this was guys' night, this was ladies' night, this was something else. Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Like the way I understand it, it's like what the prime time, you know, the 1 versus 100. You know, you have to come in at this time. You know, that's when you play, and like it's like in 30 minutes. Like whoever has the highest, you know, experience at the end wins. Like it's not like, you know, until like the last man standing, because that could take a long time. If
yeah, and like I said, you get demoted down. If you lose your money on that table you're at, you get demoted down to the lower table, where and you can work your way back up to, you know, the higher table that you were at, and then you go higher. So if you have a few bad hands, you can still, you know, you're not just done with. You can still end up being, you know, one of the highest, if you know, because it is 30 minutes and the most experience. So. And they reward like the best hand. So even if you didn't get the most experience and you had like the best hand, they'll show it on the screen. They'll show your, yeah. I think your avatar like dancing or something, all happy and some kind of animation of your avatar. But
you also get experience for, you know, folding at a good time, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, kind of sucks if, you know, luck of the draw, you just keep getting crappy hands, you're not going to get the XP. But, you know, you fold at a good time, you can still get XP.
And you get XP if you have nothing and you win from bluffing. Like if you win a big pot just from bluffing, because that happened to me once.
Well, which, I mean, it's kind of easy to bluff because, you know, you can't see faces, there's no tells.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that you can actually show, you know, the different emotions and stuff like that. Like do you like press buttons to like show your emotions and stuff, like where your avatar kind of, you know, looks angry or is like, yeah, you know, or I'm all in or whatever.
I think there's stuff you can do to that. I haven't really noticed too much. I mean, I'm pretty sure you can, since it was in 1 versus 100.
Yeah, and I saw as you level up, you can unlock different tricks or whatever. Like yeah, you got one trick where you're like playing with your chips and stuff and everything. Then you got the, I guess it's like this, like the quarter trick where you roll it over your fingers with the chip or whatever. They got one where you juggle chips and stuff like that as you level up. Have you gotten into those yet?
No, I haven't. And there's some achievements tied to the little tricks.
There's, oh, okay.
Yeah. There's actually one for all 10 players to at a single table to perform a chip trick during the same hand, and it's like the wave is what it's called. So there seems to be 1, 2, 3, at least 3 involving the tricks. So I guess those are easy achievements to get. But it is actually, it's 250 gamer score. Not just 200. Maybe the DLC added 50. I'm not sure. That's surprising to see 250 when they're normally, you know, these games are normally just 200. Mm-hmm. So that's a plus, I guess. You got 50 extra gamer score you can get off of it. But yeah, definitely. I look forward to game nights. I think Big Pimpin' and Scarfinger and a bunch of others are actually having one right now.
Oh, okay.
they were talking about they're having a game night and actually record podcast recording while they're doing it.
Oh man, that's
to
cool.
See how that go. Yeah, I was like, oh man, I was like, when is this? And they're like, tonight at 9, and I'm like, oh, that's when we're recording. You got to do it again. That'll be so cool. So definitely, I'm always up for poker. I love poker. That's like that and spades are my favorite card game. But there's no spades game on the Xbox Live Arcade. So poker it is for me. I'm still waiting
for the blackjack DLC.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for, you know, getting more people getting this and playing it. And I'm glad it was 800 and not 1200 Microsoft points, obviously. But even at 1200, I probably would have bought it just because I had so much fun with the beta.
Yeah, these house party prices have been so weird because, not that I'm complaining, you know, hey, if they want to make Full House Poker 800 points, that's fine by me. But it's so weird that they would make Hardcorp's Uprising 1200 points, and then Torchlight, which doesn't have any type of co-op or any multiplayer, 1200 points. But they've made, you know, Full House Poker 800, and what's the other one? Beyond Good and Evil HD is 800. So I'm like, cool, you know.
Yeah,
those are the two that I really wanted to play anyway. And I mean, to me, I don't know. I guess to me, those pose the best value because, you know.
Yeah, the thing with Torchlight is they have all the people who wanted to play it because people have talked about, you know, it being like Diablo, but some people just aren't PC gamers. So
yeah,
I picked it up for $5. I picked up Torchlight for $5 on the PC, so I don't plan on getting it. If it did have co-op, I'd buy it day one, and I thought it was going to have co-op because I thought you guys said it was.
Like, that's what I heard. But no, it's actually Torchlight 2, which is coming out in summer.
That's why it said, but y'all were like, oh no, Torchlight 1. I'm like, okay, I'm excited for it.
I thought it was going to have co-op, but I don't know why. I mean, if you bring any type of downloadable title to the consoles, I mean, look at Scott Pilgrim. I mean, that went the way of, you know, arcade trash, you know, in a hot minute.
Fun game. Why don't you have
couch co-op? I mean, look at Tomb Raider and the Guardian of Light. I mean, that game for like the first 3 months, it didn't have co-op, but it was designed for co-op. Are you serious? Like, nobody wants to play couch co-op anymore. Some people do. I mean, I still have my brothers will come over and we'll play, you know, if they're over this way, but if not, we're on Xbox Live.
Oh, you're speaking to the choir. I mean, you're preaching to the choir. I mean, dude, you have no idea how upset I was when, you know, I got Scott Pilgrim, the game, and it was, and found out, you know, no, it's only local co-op, because nothing really said it wasn't going to be, you know, local co-op. It said 4-player co-op and all that, so I was upset, but it's a really fun game, and it would just be so much better if it had. I mean, I think most games, if there's a chance for co-op, it should have it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't know how many times I've said that before, but definitely. I guess next we can talk about the Mortal Kombat demo. Did you get a chance to play it, Henry?
I played it for a little bit. It's just Mortal Kombat is just not my thing. I actually watched people play it. It's, I don't know, man. It's just, I guess I'm just terribly old school when it comes to Mortal Kombat. Like, I'm still a big jaded fan of the old Mortal Kombat with the photo realistic kind of washed over character models or whatever you want to call it. Like, mm-hmm. When they switched to 3D, I was pretty much out of it at that point. But I mean, the game looks gorgeous from what I can tell from the demo. I mean, it plays precisely as just like the old Mortal Kombat's. I didn't see a bunch of brutalities and stuff like that. Like they kind of streamline the combat to where it's not like all over the place. I mean, if your skills with a character, you can, you know, kind of push it to its limit, but it's not terribly, you know, just terribly difficult where you can't get in and play.
There are, what are they calling them? Level fatalities.
Yeah, I saw those.
You know, there's the pit. You know, you've got you throw the guy on the spikes, you know, like kind of like the old games. But in the other level, with the trees, you know, you can have the tree, you can knock the guy into one of the tree's mouths.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know a lot of, I've heard a lot of people going all crazy about it and loving it really, but I don't know. Maybe I just need more practice, but I just really didn't like it. It just didn't feel it didn't feel like the old Mortal Kombat games to me. It felt different, and maybe that's just because the PS3 controller. I don't know. I don't know what it was. I just wasn't feeling it at all. I mean, it looked really good. I have to say that. You know, I have to agree on that. It looked amazing, and I don't know.
Well, I actually played the original Mortal Kombat. I think it was on the remake they made for the original PlayStation, I want to say. I think it was for PS1. I don't know if it was PS2. It probably was for both, but I think I played it on PS1, the original remake, so the controller wasn't terribly bad. But I just think that they made it a little bit more, not simplistic, but they made it a little bit more accommodating to people who don't really necessarily know about Mortal Kombat or necessarily remember Mortal Kombat, because unlike Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat really doesn't have the huge following like, you know, Marvel vs. Capcom and Street Fighter does. I mean, there are diehard dedicated communities to Mortal Kombat, and they still play it, but it's not like it is in the other, you know, kind of like the 2D pseudo cartoony fighting realm. You know, but I mean, but the game most definitely does look good. It looks better than the old counterparts as far as the 3D animations and things like that. I think it's just for me. I'm just done with Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I'm just back in the day on the Genesis. I loved Mortal Kombat. It was like,
yes, sir.
I had the Genesis. I laughed at my Nintendo friends because
Genesis does what Nintendo don't.
Exactly.
Sorry, I gotta say that.
But I mean, I used to love that so much, and I even bought Mortal Kombat or Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 or whatever on Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah.
Because I never played that, but I was just wanting the old school Mortal Kombat, and real quickly, that game fucking sucks. That game is cheaper than hell. That is nothing like Mortal Kombat. And from what I hear, you know, since I never did play it on, I've only played Mortal Kombat 1 and 2 on the Genesis. From what I hear, it was cheap and broken on the Genesis.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But, so I'm a big old school, you know, Mortal Kombat fan. But I think recently, I'm just more of a Street Fighter now, honestly. I'm more into the Capcom games now. I mean, I even tried the Tekken 5 or the new Tekken, whatever it was, Tekken 5, Tekken 6, I can't remember which one, but I didn't like that either. I mean, I'm hoping that I say I didn't like that Tekken, but I'm really hoping that I like Tekken Tag Tournament 2, because I remember playing the first one on the PS2, and that game was amazing. I don't know if you guys ever played Tekken Tag Tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you know how awesome that game was.
Oh yeah, so, the only person I used to pick. Well, you had to beat the game to pick him, but I used to pick Hihachi and Eddie. Those are the only two people I play with.
Yeah, so I'm definitely hoping the second one. I'm hoping they'll go back to the first and see what all was great about that, and basically just give an update, because I'll be happy with that.
Going back to Mortal Kombat, I'm, you know, it's not on the 360 yet, so I've yet to play it, but I'm definitely gonna go, you know, day one, as soon as the demo's out, I'm down to try it out for myself, because I'm starting to get hyped for this game.
Alrighty, and so
I'm the opposite of you guys.
Well, you just haven't played it. That's the thing. I think I was definitely.
I did play, you know, Mortal Kombat back in the day with you guys. You know, I even, you know, on the Xbox, I played. I have Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance. You know, that was when they started doing with the different stances and one being a weapon. I wasn't a big fan of it, but you know, I still played it.
Yeah, that's when they lost me. Yeah,
that's when they were starting to lose me. But you know, lately they've gotten rid of the stances and the weapons, so
Yeah, but like I said, you haven't played the new one, though. So I'd like to hear your impressions whenever it does come for the Xbox Live Arcade and or like Xbox Live demo or whatever, but mm-hmm. which I haven't seen any news on it coming. I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like Microsoft is just terribly interested in even, you know, supporting this game because, you know, they have no exclusive character. PlayStation does. They really don't have any type of, not that I've heard, any type of demo coming out for it for Xbox Live. You know, they're just, I mean, it's going to be multi-platform, but I just don't think.
The demo's coming. They just have not said when.
Yeah.
And I'm
hopefully
I'm
it's not
kind of bummed.
Hopefully it's not when the game releases. Hopefully it's sometime before then.
Like from what I've heard, it's like the 360 version is the version to play though. Like, you know, Kratos, you know, take him out of the equation. Is, you know, the 360 version is the version to play. That's just what I've heard. You know, from people who have played it at, you know, trade shows.
Hmm.
Well, I'm sure of it because, you know, you got the party system, you got the, it's going to have spectator mode so you can be in a party with people and, you know, you can do the game nights with it. You can't really do that with, you can do spectator, but you can't party up and, you know, in PlayStation because that's just the way it is. The network's probably going to be a lot better on the 360. I don't know. I'm really going to try this a few more times and try to get into it because I know there are people picking this up and I really want to play with everyone and have, you know, fight and have fun and kick ass and like we do with all the other fighting games.
Yeah.
But,
quick thing. I have now won 2 online matches.
I was just about to ask you how your, Marvel vs. Capcom fighting was going.
I have beaten it on easy and normal. Now I'm working on hard. I've played a couple online matches. Still haven't played with anybody in the community yet, but
see, I would have played with you. I would have fought with you, but you asked me on St. Patrick's Day.
Like there was one time you were online, but you were off playing Halo. So,
oh yeah. But you had asked me like on St. Patrick's Day, I think, and I was like, I'm not going to be able to really do much of anything properly on. You might have actually been able to beat me then, because I'm not up to game.
I'm getting pretty good with Deadpool and Rio. So.
Oh, okay. But definitely, we'll have to pick out a time to, because I definitely like to see how you're doing and maybe give you some tips. But I guess our last Crysis 2 quick impressions. I'll definitely want to go full out on it in another episode, but because especially when I get through the story, I'm only like an hour and a half into the story. It's like I've heard 10 to 12 hours long, I've heard, so it's not a really short shooter like Homefront, which just came out. I've heard that's like 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I don't know. That's crazy if it really is.
But see, all that stuff, when people are saying, oh, it's only 3.5 hours or it's only 4 or 5 hours, well, what level of difficulty did you play it on? That's the thing. Some people play it on easy. I play it on easy because I want to have the most fun and I don't want to be dying. Well, if you play it on easy, you're going to get through it a hell of a lot quicker.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely enjoying it. I played with Ace Black for like an hour and a half, maybe almost 2 hours. And then Knucklehead came in with us and we played some more and we were just loving it. I think there's actually 12 maps, 12 different multiplayer maps for the multiplayer. So that's what we were talking about.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, because I think Call of Duty only has like 8. When it shipped, we were talking about that. And these maps are just amazing. I mean, there's right now there's a kind of a bug, or just the way it is. I would call it's not a bug, but it's just the way it is that they would need a patch. But when you first start your party out, you have a choice between like two maps, like the same, and you have the same two choice every time you restart. Like, you know, you back out and restart. Mm-hmm. You have the same two to choose from every time. It seemed like for us. So, I mean, I don't remember a time it wasn't like that, and Ace and I definitely were talking about they definitely have to patch that and fix that, because that's a problem. Because, you know, especially because one of those maps is just cheap as hell. I mean, it's kind of small, and it's basically just a giant circle, you know? You're just going in a giant circle.
Start
so
match, throw grenades?
Oh, it's a Beaver Creek.
And basically, the spawning, you know, when you spawn, you'll spawn right next to someone who, you know, on the other team or whatever, so you can die pretty quickly. They're definitely going to have to fix the spawning. And we joked around that the best place to go is to hide in the little bathroom and just wait for people to come and shoot. Because that's the only real good way you can do anything, because, you know, like I said, if you die, you could spawn like right now. I've spawned right next to the same person who had just killed me once. and I tried killing him, but I died because he had the upper, you know, he saw me quicker. But that's definitely a problem. But
yeah, I remember there were spawning problems in the demo as well.
Yeah, I definitely gotta say we really haven't played too many of the maps. The two maps that were in the demo, we mainly played all the other maps.
Yeah, tell me about the graphics, because the demo, it just seemed like everything was kind of shaded over. A lot of the textures were real flat.
From the
multiplayer to the campaign, I mean, does the campaign look pretty pristine or up to the Crysis standards?
The campaign, Ace was talking about this, and I definitely agree with him that the campaign graphics are probably the best that the 360 has. Honestly,
oh, wow,
yeah, it's truly amazing. I'm definitely amazed with it. I mean, when you start, oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I was talking about this before the show, but on the PC version, you know, when you go to settings, you usually got low, medium, high, very high, whatever. Not in Crysis 2. It's just high, very high, extreme. There's no lower, medium.
Wow.
It's just not even an option.
Since we're on graphics, I mean, there have also been rumblings about how the PS3 version was supposed to be looking, I guess, lesser than its 360 counterpart. Have you seen it on PS3 yet? Because the developers came out and said, no, they're incorrect. People who are saying that, you know, I won't name names, but some of the big sites were actually putting this stuff out there, saying that they've played both versions of it at different trade shows and things like that, and they say that the 360 version looks better, in the Crysis game, and the developers came out and said, no, they should be looking exactly the same, and that's the key word, should, but, you know, have you seen anything on both consoles yet?
I have not, but Ace told me that there are some little hiccups with the game, as far as, like, it not being able to process, it not being able to run it as like the hardware not being able to run the game as well, that there are some little problems, but for the most part it's just amazing. And he was joking that you could cook hamburgers on his Xbox, because it was just producing so much heat from the game.
Did he burn it to the hard drive?
I'm sure he did. I'm not exactly sure. He can tell us in the chat if he's there right now listening, whether he burnt it to the hard drive or not, or installed it to the hard drive. But yeah, that was a joke. He kept saying, oh, I'm going to check to see if the burgers are done.
He ran into the hard drive. That should quiet it down, because mine does the same thing. It does that when I'm, like, you know, playing like a game I haven't played in a long time. I think I popped in Red Dead the other day, and sounded like an aircraft carrier was taking off.
What was I going to say? The
Slim fixes that problem.
Yeah.
Well, he has a Slim, I think. I think DJ, or not DJ, I'm looking at the chat, but I think Ace has the Slim, he was saying. But anyways, I was going to say something before Stuart cut me off, but I can't remember something about the graphics, but the graphics are really amazing. I'm liking it, but the multiplayer. Oh, I know what I was gonna say. When you start the game off, you're in like this building, this dark building, and it's really dark, and you know the graphics don't look that great because it's really dark, you know, a dark environment. But when you reach like the you go up the stairs and stuff, and when you finally reach the top of the building, and you're on the door up to the roof, and you open it and you look out, it's amazing. I mean, you can just look out into the horizon and see like the ocean and see like the Statue of Liberty and the sky, and it just looks incredible.
I have seen.
Yeah, and they said that they take this one out of the, you know, the big vast jungle environment. It's more consolidated. It's more focused.
Yeah, I haven't seen any jungle stuff at all. It's in mostly since I've only played like an hour and a half of it. I have the single player, anyways. I haven't seen any jungles in any of the maps, so I'm sure that
from what I've heard, it only takes place in New York.
Yeah,
when they got the concrete jungle.
And the maps that they had in the demo does not do it justice at all. There are some pretty amazing maps. I mean, I wish I had video capturing equipment to show, but I definitely would suggest trying to look on YouTube or whatever. If there's people giving video impressions, checking it out, because it's a really visually graphic game. I mean, it's just amazing. Ace and I were talking about we're on a mission to try to get more people to pick up this game, because we're just loving it. I mean, right now I would say this is probably my favorite game of this year so far. It's really that good, and it has a lot of little features to it that that just make a big difference. We were talking about stuff that it has that like Killzone 3 doesn't. Like, there's a button to mute everyone that's not in your party.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You press Y and it mutes everyone that's not in your particular squad or, you know, the party you before you start matchmaking. And, you know, something that simple just really helps out a lot. And, you know, you can customize your weapons, and there's classes and all that, of course. And there's some pretty cool upgrades. Like, you know, there's the laser dot, of course, but there's like a laser rifle where you can where it's just a constant laser that's just, you know, where you can do hip fire by aiming, and which it's pretty good, except for at night it's really the night levels, it really stands out having that laser. But I'm definitely enjoying this, and when I'm done with it, I definitely want to try to get Ace back on and have him and me like basically just ball wash this game, because we're loving it. But I guess we can move on to AT&T is buying T-Mobile. Have you guys seen a lot of info on this?
Not a lot. I just saw Twitter blow up and was going crazy last week. This week, when it was announced, it was like, what, some odd $39 billion.
Yeah. $39 billion for T-Mobile USA.
Yeah. I seen somebody tweet, Now it's AT&T.
No, AT&T Mobile. That's what I've been seeing. which I guess that works. And the companies, they both have said that it'll take approximately 12 months before anything, you know, before the paperwork is all done, which, you know, these two are pretty big companies, so it's going to take a while.
Yeah, it's about the same time frame that it took Singular. They didn't really fully take over Singular until it took almost 8 months for them to fully take over the advertising, remove the logos, all that stuff like that.
Yeah. And also, the company is getting like so much money in AT&T stocks. I mean, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. As well. And if for some reason the merger doesn't go through, T-Mobile still gets like $6 billion or $3 billion or some what? Big number. Yeah. Just for a fee for opting out, I guess. $3 billion, yeah. So even a breakup fee, it says on the little article I'm looking at.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just now seeing the picture on the article. It's got like the AT&T ball as the Death Star.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Strong T-Mobile. Yeah, that's the one that I use for the live stream.
That's funny.
yeah, I just thought that was I laughed my ass off when I saw that, but. Yeah, T-Mobile's got like 30 something million, I think, customers. So this would make AT&T Mobile or whatever you want to call it. It's just going to be AT&T, they've said.
Yeah, it's just going to be AT&T.
Yeah, but they'll have 130 million subscribers, and their coverage will reach 95% of the United States population. So that's pretty impressive. I know a lot of people are just I've seen Twitter blow up. Yes, ever since this, I've seen Twitter blow up, and I've seen people say, "Oh, there goes T-Mobile. Oh, that shit. Oh, this is horrible." You know, people acting like it's the end of the world.
Yeah, because people, I think people have this mindset and thinking like AT&T is going to come over and, you know, I guess monopolize the market, and they're going to lose their great service and things like that. I've never really had to call AT&T customer service because, you know, I really don't call a whole lot of customer service people, because I usually get things done, you know, myself. But in regards to the actual technology, I mean, they're not horrible when it comes to technology. I mean, they have good phones out there. I mean, and if you're with T-Mobile, Everything's gonna remain the same for you. You're still gonna receive the same bills. It just now you're gonna have a new marquee on it. Like it's not like they're gonna come in and destroy everything that T-Mobile built up from the towers and everything else. No, it's just they're just broadening their horizon by buying this company.
Yeah, and what I'm seeing is that when the switch does happen, I think you're not gonna be able to use the phones you're using that are out now for T-Mobile. You're not gonna be able to use them, I think, because they have different radios, I think.
Yeah.
But from what I'm seeing, T-Mobile's already starting to release phones that have that will be compatible for when the switch happens.
Yeah.
Think their new LG G2X phone, which is their newest hot phone that's coming out. It's going to be dual core, all, you know, the works. I think that I saw that's going to have be able to do AT&T and, you know, when it becomes AT&T, T-Mobile becomes, you know, when the two companies become one, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, AT&T is not going to let that go overlooked. I mean, they're going to do this. I mean, they're going to come in when that process takes place. They're going to do a huge ad campaign, and they're going to say, hey, if you still have a T-Mobile phone, they're going to be sending out mailers to customers. Come in and get your brand new free AT&T da-da-da-da phone. And we'll give it to you free. You'll have the same contract. I mean, they're going to be given huge discounts and incentives, and people will go into the store and they'll get a brand new phone and they'll be happy.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they're going to give. They're definitely going to give new. They're going to. I don't think they're going to give like iPhones or fancy or high end Android phones for free. But I think they're going to allow their customers to upgrade, a free upgrade.
Right.
As in, like, you know, you can get the the low end phone. You can get the crappy bar phones, flip phones, whatever, or the low end Android phones for free. Or, you know, we'll take off, you know, half off the, you know, the iPhone, or half off the whatever the hot Android phone is at the time. I think they'll do that, because I just don't see them giving away iPhones and high-end Android phones for free, because they are a company. They do have to make money. But I do see them discounting it. And from what I've read, AT&T wouldn't be able to launch – they wouldn't be able to roll out their 4G network without buying T-Mobile, without using T-Mobile Spectrum. So it would take them like years and years and years to be able to develop, you know, spread out all the towers and be able to do all that, to basically get to where T-Mobile is for 4G, because T-Mobile really does have an impressive 4G coverage.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes pure sense, because AT&T wants to capture that 4G market. But at the same time, they want those customers also. So it makes no sense for them to trash T-Mobile's infrastructure that they have in place already and then come up with a whole brand new thing. No, just adapt the technology over, learn from what they've done, and then adapt it to your network. So it makes perfect sense.
I think last I checked, T-Mobile had like over 100 cities, like 140 some cities that have 4G coverage. So, I mean, I think that's pretty impressive, I think. So, I mean, a lot of people are really just dogging this. And like I said, it's going to take like 12 months. Both companies have said it'll take probably 12 months for all the paperwork to get settled and all that, you know, lawyers and everything. And not to mention the FCC and all that stuff they have to do with the government. But T-Mobile will remain its own company for like the 12 months it takes, or however long it does take. They're not going to get the iPhone. I know a lot of people are like, oh, is T-Mobile going to get the iPhone? No, not T-Mobile said, you know, we're not AT&T yet. We're staying our own company until, you know, the negotiations and paperwork's all done. We'll function the same way we are. And so, you know, I know a lot of people I've seen so many people freak out on Twitter about it, like it's the end of the world. You know, it's not.
I just think it's kind of funny, because, you know, on TV, I just see, you know, hey, T-Mobile is a lot better than AT&T. You know, kind of like the Apple Mac commercials were.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's T-Mobile and AT&T. I think this, you know, it's kind of funny.
It is funny. And, you know, I think a lot of people like T-Mobile because they do have such a good coverage. And they do have their plans are really cheap. They have like the best plans that I've seen. You know, they're the leaders in 4G right now, I think. But they're just not as huge as AT&T. AT&T just has so much money because they were a big company before cell phones even.
Yeah,
you know?
They were doing everything. You know, landline. You know, base technology, you know, partnering up with you know, different corporate technologies and things like that. So they are
partnering up with DirecTV. So you
right.
can, you know, exactly. You can have your home phone, you can have DirecTV, you can have home internet and your cell phones for, you know, you can get special discounts for having all of them with AT&T and stuff. I've seen so many stuff like that. So AT&T is just a bigger company because they do a lot more. But, I really think a lot of people are, like I said, a lot of people are upset because they think that, you know, AT&T's crappy, you know, the people complain about AT&T's coverage and all that, and dropped calls, and they're like, oh, well, that just means, you know, 30-something other million customers are going to get that horrible quality. No, you know, you have two major carriers joining together that's going to improve it, you know, they're going to have all those extra towers, and it's, you know, it's going to help AT&T. That's why they're doing it. it's the quickest and fastest way to get 4G and actually help them. So,
What were you telling me before the show? Like, once this happens, what you were gonna do?
What?
You're telling me that.
Well, I was just telling you that because of the situation with my mom. My mom actually works for T-Mobile right now, or a T-Mobile authorized dealer. So, you know, with all this, the owner of the store my mom works for is wanting to go to Sprint because he doesn't want to have to deal with all the, you know, the process and waiting and seeing what will happen. And if, you know, since that's his store is right down the street from an AT&T store, whether or not they'll make him shut down or not, you know, all this and that. So I think that's going to play a big role as well. You know, all the T-Mobile authorized dealers who are right next to AT&T stores, you know, they're going to go away or they're going to switch to like the owner of the T-Mobile store here. He's going to switch to switching to Sprint. So we may end up going to Sprint just because of that. And I've seen a lot of people ask about, you know, talk about whether or not they should, you know, they should pay the cancellation fee and switch carriers. And I've had to tell them, you've got a year, you know, you've got a year. So if you don't really have to pay that fee yet. I mean,
yeah,
I just don't know what people think when they think about a company taking over another company, like all this doom and gloom talk and jumping ship immediately. Like, this process takes, you know, tons of time. Like, I mean, there are corporate things that has to go on. There are, you know, stockholder issues. There are technology issues that have to go on to transfer all this stuff. Customer service has to be transferred over. You know, the processes need to be learned. I mean, all this stuff. So, I mean, you got time. You don't have to immediately jump ship because, oh my gosh, the great Death Star AT&T is about to, you know, swallow up the world, you know, or whatever. It's not the end of it. It's just, you know, when people panic and freak out.
And, you know, I personally, my mom, when I told her this, she was shocked because I guess they don't tell her much info. You know, T-Mobile doesn't really tell their store, the stores much info. But she was like, oh, that's not going to happen. The government won't let it happen because that'll just be a monopoly. And there's just too many. And I'm like, actually, this helps Obama's technology plan or whatever. Because I can't remember it exactly, but you guys are familiar with Obama's push for technology and getting, like, I guess, broadband or some type of something throughout the nation, or he's got some big plan.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge initiative that, you know, that was actually, you know, kind of talked about, set in place, you know, initially with the administration. But, you know, of course, circumstances happen. I mean, we got oil spills, and I mean, we got way larger issues than, I guess, getting the infrastructure. But I mean, I guess it is a large issue in terms of as far as setting our country up for the future, because, I mean, let's face it. I mean, computers, technology, information gathering and also sending is just a huge thing. That we need to be focused on. But, you know, hey, circumstances permit, and you can't get to everything. You got to take care of the bigger issues first. But, you know, if they can get some type of implementation of, you know, running, man, I wish to God that they could run fiber optic everywhere. But it's just, you know, we've talked about it before, that, I mean, the United States is just huge. I mean, to run an infrastructure of fiber optic that would just cost tons and tons of money that, you know, if we spent it, we wouldn't have it to take care of other issues. So
yeah, and you know, the new AT&T company will, that like I said, they'll reach 95% of the United States population. So whether or not, I mean, that'll bring like 3G, at least 3G, to most the country. So that in itself is a big, you know, that in itself is a big step towards that. And you know, I'm really looking forward to that if we do stick with T-Mobile, because currently we don't have 3G in my area for T-Mobile. It's just one of those things where some areas just, I guess, don't get supported or don't have enough customers. I don't know. But definitely, definitely a big news, and I'm looking forward to see what more comes from it, because, you know, this is just major. But I guess next we can go into our I recommend section, which oh, did somebody say something?
No, go ahead.
Okay, I thought I heard.
I said okay.
Okay. I thought you were trying to say something. Which is my pick for my pick this week, and I picked something that I don't think either of you would have thought I would pick, but
I thought this was Henry's pick.
Oh no.
Why is that, Stuart?
Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh wow. I think for Freudian slip, maybe something along those lines.
Yeah, some kind of.
But I picked Black Dynamite. Dynamite. Which is I've heard so much about this movie. From the last, or basically since it's come out, I mean, I've heard so many, like, people in the geek culture world talk about how great this movie is, and
I know, Mike.
Yeah. and trust me, I'll have that theme, like, after I say Black Dynamite, I'll have playing. I've already planned on it, but, yeah, it's basically, it came out in like 2009, so it's a couple years old, but it's set to look like a 70s type, you know, what's the word for it? 70s
blaxploitation.
Black kung fu type movie, whatever. It's got the it looks like it's got the filter for the, you know, the.
Got like
with the screen pop and the tearing and stuff.
Yeah, the tearing filter and all that stuff. And but what's just amazing about this movie is it's never, it just takes itself so serious. The characters are just so serious all the time.
Yeah, that's what makes it so terribly funny. Like, oh man, me and my wife watched this movie, I say probably maybe about, it's been on our queue for a while, and we finally watched it. And man, we got about halfway through with it, but I'm telling you, we were just laughing the whole way through, because, like you say, everything in the movie takes itself so seriously, but it's just a big joke. It's just incredibly funny.
You didn't get to the diner scene yet, did you?
No, I didn't. And that's what I keep hearing about.
Stuart, did you see the diner scene?
I laughed so hard.
God. It's just hilarious, because they're at the diner and they're just trying to figure something out, and they'll just come up with just the most random shit and just go off to one topic and be like, oh, that, you know, I can't, how can I say
this? It was like, melt in your mouth. What also melts in your mouth? M&M's. Who makes M&M's? Mars. Mars also Greek God of War. And it goes, oh God.
Yeah. And it just goes on and on and on, and just finally when the result when it ends, it's just, I mean, that's like, seriously the best part.
Oh my God, how'd you get
so it's kinda like those Bean commercials, you know, where they use actual people and they're kinda like talking and they're, you know, acting like they're a human search engine, and then somebody says this word and goes to the next word and goes to the next word.
Yeah, but it's like that, but they're doing it as in, like, they're thinking about it, and they're like, coming up with what, like, know. That meets Sherlock Holmes, I guess. The Bean commercials meet Sherlock Holmes in some way.
I'd say dumb Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I mean, that scene makes the movie, honestly. But I mean, it's from the very beginning. It's just, I mean, when. This is like the beginning, so I don't think it's much of a spoiler. But when the street scene where they have the guys right next to the car, and the guys all like, I ain't no rat or whatever, and just the way he's talking, like he's trying to be he's trying so hard to be playing that role he's playing, because obviously he's undercover, and that scene's just. Starts the movie out so well, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely, honestly, I watched this like last week or right before we recorded the last show, and I instantly had to pick this as mine because it takes itself so seriously to where it's just hilarious. I mean, the characters don't do any goofy jokes. I mean, they're just so serious where it becomes goofy.
I think probably one of the funniest parts was when it was kind of in the middle, you know, when Black Dynamite and whatever his love interest was, they were, you know, kind of skipping through the park, and she's trying to get him to chase him. He just kind of stands there, you know, in his old, you know, kind of like, I'm going to fight kind of way. You know, I'm not used to playing around. You know, she's running around. He's just kind of standing there watching her like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did you guys think about cream corn?
Oh, God, that was just hilarious.
Cream corn! Oh, man, that was hilarious, man.
I laughed a lot, but it still had to be one of the dumbest movies I've ever seen.
Well, I mean, you could tell they were doing that on purpose.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, they were all so serious because, I know, you know, it made the humor. But the thing I love the most about it, I don't remember when it was in the movie, so I don't know if you've seen it yet, Henry, but when it shows him as a kid, like, talking to his mom or whatever, his mom calls him Black Dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, when it goes to the flashback, I'm a 2-year-old Black Dynamite, and you're my 16-year-old brother. What?
definitely can't recommend this movie any more than I am. It's on Netflix Instant Watch, of course. I mean, so if you have Netflix, which I'm sure most of our listeners do, because most of our listeners are geeks and that, you know, but
kind of along that same vein, if you want to kind of, I guess, if you're not familiar with the history of most of the things that happen in these movies, you can go, most of them are on Instant Queue. You can go watch, I think it's Coffee with Pam Grier, the real old movies. Foxy Brown is on Netflix. I believe The Mac and also Superfly is on Instant Queue. I believe they're all still on there. You can go watch those, and those kind of give you like a little small semi-history of what this movie kind of encompasses in all those. It kind of makes fun of. But it's most definitely a watch. I mean, it's awesome.
Definitely. And I've heard there's a, like, there was something about a cartoon spinoff of it. I haven't seen too much of it. I'm just looking at the wiki. And there's also a sequel in the works. They're trying to come up with a sequel. So I'm not sure how that will be, but definitely.
I was going to say, speaking of cartoon, I could have done without the cartoon sex scene. That's the only down part. Could have done without it.
Oh, yeah, true. But I don't know. I definitely thought that was weird, but I thought it went with the movie the way the movie is.
It did, but, you know, I could have skipped that part and not missed a thing.
Yeah, I got you. But so yeah, definitely recommend this movie. Of course, it's hilarious. You'll just laugh and laugh and laugh. You definitely got to watch the rest of it, Henry, because especially that diner scene. Because
oh yeah,
it's just hilarious. But I guess with that we can get into our geek question of the week, which was actually my question this week.
Yes.
Yay.
Let's see. Will's question was, if you could take any franchise, that's a book, movie, TV show, video game, and put it into the hands of someone else, what and who would it be? All right.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, Will, it's your question.
Okay, for TV, I would take Doctor Who and put it in for maybe a season, maybe two, I don't know. Not for good, but just to see, to Joss Whedon, because I think that I think I think that would just be so many different kinds of interesting. Because I'm just a Whedon fanboy, and
oh wow,
I don't know. I think he could do some amazing things with Doctor Who, but and also for like movie wise, I would take the rumored sequel trilogy of Star Wars. You know, I know we've all heard that George Lucas will make another, you know, a sequel trilogy somehow, whatever. I would take that and I would give it to Christopher Nolan.
Oh man,
because
I would love to see that.
Because I, you know, everything he does, everything I've seen him do has just been amazing. I have not yet seen Inception. I still have to see that. I've got it. I just haven't seen it yet. But you know, The Dark Knight was amazing. You know, all the other movies he's did, the Prestige. I just love that. I love that. So I mean, he's one of the top directors right now. So. I mean, as far as fandom in the geek world goes, so those are my two answers that I could think of. Video game wise, I was kind of thinking something about maybe Borderlands, but I don't know if I'd want to take Borderlands out of Gearbox. Maybe I would say take Borderlands maybe in Blizzard maybe and do an MMO with Borderlands. I don't know, but that I really couldn't think of anything game wise. But yep, that's my answers. Stuart?
This was actually a kind of hard question. And I think I just came up with my answer right now. I can only think of a video game one. Pokemon. And put it in the hands of Square Enix, you know, actually make a console Pokemon game, not just a battle simulation game, you know, but a full-fledged, you know, RPG Pokemon game on the console. You know, I'm not saying, you know, Game Freak does it bad, it's just I want something other than a portable version. I want a console version.
I could see that, you know. I'm... God... Square, yeah, maybe. That's just I'm just thinking the way Final Fantasy 13 was, and oh god, I just did not enjoy that. But I definitely could see like Square Enix doing that, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess Henry.
Yeah, mine. This was actually pretty tough for me, but I would actually take two franchises. I would take the Killzone franchise and put it in the hands in the directorial hands of Guillermo del Toro. Then I would take the multiplayer away from Guerrilla and I would put it in DICE hands and see what they could come up with.
See, you know? I was trying to think of something to put in Toro's hands. I really was. I was trying so hard to think because he's one of my favorite directors, but I just couldn't really think of anything that. In anything, but yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah, because I think Gears of War would probably be the obvious answer. So I wanted to get a franchise that needs a story overhaul. I mean, I know we're just wishing here, but I would love to see that mashup. I mean, because I think he could probably do something with the whole Helgon story and make it a little bit more visceral, a little bit more, you know, scarier, you know, because, you know, I'm playing through the campaign now. I can't even get through the campaign because I feel nothing for any of these characters. Like, I'm just kind of going through. And then I guess my second one would be I probably would give Dragon Age and just bear with me here. I probably would give Dragon Age to Bungie.
Huh. And okay, the reason explain. Why I say, yeah.
Okay. And you the reason why I say that.
That one up.
Yeah. Okay. And the reason why I say that is because Bungie has been trying, you know, for so long to kind of map out, and they may be, you know, on the verge of it, of actually mapping out an actual franchise that allows you to play in a world where first person fighting with swordplay is done right and correctly. It doesn't feel drab and kind of, you know, ho-hum or whatever, kind of like the Oblivion franchise. That's the reason why I can't play that franchise in first person, because first-person sword fighting just never feels, I guess it just never feels threatening enough. Like, you know, it's kind of like you're there, but it's kind of like, I'm just doing this action and it's just happening. It's not really there. But I would take Bungie because, you know, if they did a vast MMO world, that the multiplayer would be good. I think they could actually pull the story off of Dragon Age and add something and add a new element to it, honestly.
Huh.
But I think the first person sword fighting would be awesome in that game, and it'll be more visceral.
That's interesting. And I gotta say, bravo for playing Dance Central while podcasting. that's impressive. That's truly impressive.
Right?
No, that's not me.
I figured, but I just had to pull that in for a laugh.
Hold on. Wait. Okay.
But I think that's a really good answer. The one with the kill zone. I'm not sure about Bungie. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
I'm not a Dragon Age fan, so I really don't know too much about Dragon Age. But
I think Dragon Age is good in worse hands.
Oh yeah, I mean it's perfect where it's at. I just throwing something out there. Just being a little crazy.
Yeah, this is our what if question, so
yeah.
You know, I'm crazy. I play Dance Central while podcasting. I'm crazy.
Oh wow. So Stuart, what's your answer, or what's the community's answers? I know you've got
okay. I've got a couple. Let's see. Polka Cookie. He this is kind of where I got my answer from. He says Brainwave. I'd give the rights for Pokemon to Blizzard and have them make an MMO. I can see that kind of working, but I don't know. Yeah.
I know everyone would love a Pokemon MMO, but I just don't know how that would work.
Yeah. I just wish they would put you know I guess the Pokemon like they did on GameCube. I know it didn't do too well, but I wish that they would do full-on animations, full-on characterization in a Pokemon game and make it a console game that can be transferred from console to portable. I think that would be terribly awesome because then you can add a story element and maybe add some co-op, you know, jump in, jump out with different characters.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying with Square Enix. You know, we need a console version of Pokemon. You know, I mean, it does great on the handheld, but I think it would explode
20-something years later
on a console.
20 years later, or 15 to 20. I'm not sure how.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that gets me with Pokemon is just that, I guess this is the beauty and I guess the curse of it, but the stagnation of those still characters. Like, I know they have animations now, the new one, I guess. I haven't seen it.
They do.
But just that, you know, it's just a still image, and then when they get hit, the little still image shakes. Like, you know, I mean, we are beyond that now. Like, I mean, can I get a little bit of animation?
Yeah, I know. that's basically how it was on the very first Pokemon game.
The very first one.
On the huge freaking gray Game Boy that took like, I don't know how many batteries, but God, I remember that thing. That thing was a beast. That thing was huge.
That was considered small at the time.
Well, compared to like the Game Gear, but definitely. Other ones? I know we have more.
Yes. Actually, they're coming in right now. let's see, Deshane Vox, he's actually got a couple of them. Putting Max Payne into the hands of Remedy or System Shock in the hands of, I can't read, Irrational, there we go. Probably doesn't count, does it? I can't give my 2 cents on that one.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
And then he also says, for a book, Jim Butcher, the guy who did the Drisna Files, writing about Jack Sawyer, Talisman Black House by King and then Scrub, I don't know. Maybe why JS left Cali. I have no idea what he was talking about. Not a clue.
I don't either, but that's Deshane for you.
Let's see. Gustavo Ram, he says, Heavy Rain sequel done by Ninja Theory. Mocap and VO, excellent scene in Enslaved with the dark subject matter of Heavy Rain universe. Boom.
I think that'd be pretty interesting. I definitely would like that.
Yeah, whenever I eventually do get a PS3, I'm definitely going to play Heavy Rain because I want to play Heavy Rain so bad.
I don't know. I need to pick a Heavy Rain back up and give it another shot, but it didn't seem like there was enough going on for me to keep my interest in it, but I don't...
Yeah, let me tell you, brother. I mean, you're not really missing... I mean... Okay, it's to each his own. I mean, to me, I feel like if a game is going to be story driven and based upon and it's going to be character heavy, then the characters need to have proper dialogue. It needs to be, you know, at least decent, and the story needs to not have plot holes in it, and it needs to answer questions that are critical to the story itself. And you know, without giving any spoilers, you know, let's just say, you know, it's been talked about over and over again. That's why I'm kind of hesitant on getting that game, because I played it before and I want to play it again to kind of do a different storyline, but I'm just it's a lot of stuff you have to overlook, and then the voice acting is another thing you have to look out for too. So
Jason
it's like, daddy, I want the balloon. I want the red balloon. What is that? I really want one.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. But, yeah, it just I see what it did, what it does, and how people are praising it, but it just didn't seem like it was for me. And, you know, I got it day one and was playing it day one, but I couldn't get through it, let alone play it numerous times to get all the endings and platinum it like some people have. Wow. Oh my God!
I mean, I can see how, because I mean, as a technological feat, I mean, the game looks awesome. I mean, the game has some of the best, I guess the best, you know, motion capture, facial capture that I've seen to date. I mean, even on the during like the little loading screens where you play each character and the character's face pops up on like the screen, you can see the pores and the 5 o'clock shadow and people's faces. I mean, it looks terribly realistic, but then you get to the game and it's like, you know, some intense scenes are there, but like I said, when I jump into a story, I want to be totally engulfed in it. And, you know, when you have, you know, sinkholes in your story and different things don't go right and stuff, you know, it's a huge downer when you expect so much out of it.
Yeah, I always thought Alan Wake's story would have been so great in Heavy Rain. I thought
Yeah, exactly.
You know, combine those two games together, and because that story was just amazing. I thought, you know, but
yeah, it was.
Anyways, other feedback. I know we have a bunch from the chat.
Which I can't see, but Dark Art DJ was kind enough to put it into Twitter. So, he says Final Fantasy into BioWare. Okay, Dragon Age to Blizzard. I disagree with that one. But
says the guy who plays World of Warcraft for 800 hours a year.
I think he's going to BlizzCon this year.
Fingers crossed.
And going to be giddy as a schoolgirl when he gets
up in Dallas.
It's in Anaheim. Thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But yeah,
I just can't see. Hold on a second. Okay, sorry. Blizzard does what they do well. BioWare does story really well. Like that's what I think draws a lot of people into BioWare, is because they can tell a story and tell it great, and I think that's what makes Dragon Age, Mass Effect, KOTOR. I think that's what made those games great.
Oh my God.
Okay.
No. I'm looking at what Dark DJ just tweeted.
Yeah.
give Madden to 2K Sports.
that is the best answer that you could ever answer. 2K for
as far as video
25.
Games, yes. That's the best video game answer, I say. Wow. I'm sorry, but I just saw that and it just came out. Wasn't laughing at your thing.
Oh, no, I knew exactly what you were laughing at because I saw it too. He also says that JT Wise had a great idea of giving Resident Evil to Visceral Games. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Also said Alpha Protocol to BioWare.
Yep, Alpha Protocol to BioWare. Get that shit done right. Yeah, from what I can tell from Alpha Protocol, it just kind of fell apart on gameplay. Which I think BioWare could fix that.
I believe they could, too. Because like you said, I mean, they're, you know, best with story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know the Visceral is the Dead Space guys, DJ. Did you guys know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, because he's saying in the chat maybe they don't know the Visceral or the Dead Space guys.
Visceral.
Yeah, the thing is, I'm just not a Resident Evil fan of the games. I kind of like the movies. I just was never a fan of the games.
What? You think you know a guy?
Yeah. I've really never played a Resident Evil game. I tried to play the fifth one, but that was just god awful.
No.
So.
I played Resident Evil 2, and I.
Now, Resident Evil 2 was good, and also the one, if you can find it, I don't know if you still have a Dreamcast or a PlayStation 2, but if you can find Code Veronica was awesome for its time, but if you can kind of put your mindset and kind of forgive it for some of the flaws it has, I think Code Veronica, I mean, to me, you know, I played Code Veronica on Dreamcast. That was the best and the scariest one that I've ever played before.
Well, see, I just don't like the scary games.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you play Dead Space 2?
And I won't touch it.
Yeah, that's why I don't put any real scary movies in our I recommend because I don't want.
I can watch scary movies. It's just I can't play the games.
Oh, okay.
Don't want to give the kiddos bad dreams.
Yeah, exactly. But I would go back to the Resident Evil games and play them now. I just never. Did at the time, but I think too late because the graphics are probably going to be too, you know, outdated compared to what I'm used to right now.
Yeah.
I tried playing the new one with a friend, but I just couldn't get into it, and I've heard that it was not a good representation of Resident Evil. So.
Yeah. If but like I say, if you can find. A copy of Resident Evil Code Veronica for Dreamcast. I don't know if you still have one or not. Most of the Dreamcast games look like, you know, if you have a TV that can upconvert it. Most of the Dreamcast games around that time look just about like maybe I probably say like a downloadable title would look like almost a little bit lesser than what Beyond Good and Evil HD looks like. Like it kind of looks like that. So if you can kind of ink past that little graphical hitch. You know, I think you'll have a pretty good experience. Every once in a while, I'll go back to some Dreamcast games. I still have Sword of the Berserk in my collection. Got both Shenmues. I got a couple others. Jedi Knight Power Battles, but yeah.
I never had a Dreamcast, unfortunately.
What?
Yeah, same here.
You think
See,
you know?
I always got the Dreamcast and the Sega Saturn. I always got both of those freaking confused and never knew which one was the good one. So I just said screw it.
The only things I ever played on Sega Saturn was Bug, Mystic Knights, and there was a couple others I played. Panzer Dragoon, but other than that, Sega Saturn was it was a failure.
Yeah, I mainly.
Dreamcast was before its time. I mean, I could go on about the Dreamcast.
I've heard like an Ethernet port.
No, it had a phone line. It had an actual dial up line, but it was the first one to have the first console to come out. I mean, it had the four controller port, you know, already on the console. It had online.
Or the VMUs, is that what it's called?
Yeah, exactly. Like what Windows 7 and. you know, the PSP and everything are doing now, with the whole adaptation of trying to adapt, you know, the different devices to the main console device. I mean, Dreamcast was doing that with the little VMU, so you could play with your little KL baby, you pop it in, Sonic Adventures uploads, and your stuff is already saved to your game. So, I mean, it just did a whole lot of stuff that was just before time. I think if the Dreamcast would have just had support from EA and had a DVD player, it would have been the console to get at that time.
Well, yeah, I've
probably,
you know, I've heard so much about the Dreamcast to where I want to just, I'm tempted to just go out and look for one just to try the games people are talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what shops that you have in Oklahoma, man, but we got a couple shops here. You can find a Dreamcast. You can even find the black limited edition one for like $25. And most of the games, you know, you can find those for pretty cheap.
Yeah.
I even send you some games if you get one. I even mail them to you. But my Shenmue's got to stay here. Sorry. Shenmue's staying here.
Can't you copy games, though? Wasn't that a big thing with the... Yeah, wasn't that a big thing?
It was like a bunch of main programs they had where you could copy them and stuff like that. Man, I've long since forgot all that stuff. I don't even know how to do it no more. But I'm pretty sure there's whole vast communities that know how to do all that now.
I heard it was... I mean, it's so easy now to actually download the files or whatever for the games and burn them on like a CD.
Yeah, because Dreamcast ran on CDs. I mean, they were still using CDs, so, you know, that was another thing that kind of hurt it too, was the level of piracy, but it was still selling well. It just, you know, Sega just went the route of software because it was making it more money.
Yeah, from everything I've heard about the Dreamcast, it seems like I would have loved it, and I'm just so upset that I never did. Because for the longest time, I was behind with gaming. I had the Genesis for, you know, for so long, and then I skipped the PlayStation and went straight to PlayStation 2 and played PlayStation games on my PS2. And so, yeah, I kind of skipped a whole generation because I was just behind for so long.
Yeah.
But,
And that was the Geek Question of the Week.
Yeah, unless we have any others.
I haven't seen any.
Yeah, my first thing before I really thought about it was for Christopher Nolan to take the Spider-Man series. That was going to be my first pick.
But, oh, that'll be great.
Yeah, but then I thought, you know, a Star Wars universe movie would just be way better. I'd want to see that way more.
Yeah.
Because so far what I'm seeing with the new Spider-Man movie, it looks, despite it being him in high school still, It's looking to be pretty good. So
now they have titled it The Amazing Spider-Man. Is it going to follow The Amazing Spider-Man, you know, comic book lore, or are they just going to do their own thing? Because they're calling it the Amazing. So
if that's the case, then Mary Jane should not be in it.
Right.
I don't think Mary Jane is in it. What's her name?
Gwen Stacy.
Gwen Stacy is in it.
Well, I mean, initially she shouldn't be in it.
Yeah, that's right. Who. What's her name? Emma something. The chick from what's it called? That zombie movie. God, I can't remember. Zombieland.
I can't think of her name either.
Yeah. Wait, Emma Stone? Isn't that it?
Emma Stone. Yeah.
Yeah. I believe that's it. But definitely she's gonna be Gwen Stacy. Which I thought she would have been. I thought she would have been Mary Jane, but I could see her as a Mary Jane. But and the Spider-Man, you know, web cartridges and the device, a shooter not coming through his, you know, skin. Which that was the biggest thing I hated from the very first Spider-Man. Yeah. I never forgave it for doing that.
Actually,
because that took away from Peter Parker's.
It did go into a skin.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
like, but there was a while it was actually in his skin.
Yeah, I mean, but that kind of took away from Peter Parker's intelligence. Like, you know, he not only had powers, but he had the ability to, what were the kind of the, I can't think of what they call them in the comic, but the web things that he had going from his shoulder to his side, where he could glide and he didn't have to use as much web as he needed to. He kind of used that. And, yeah. You know, he actually made the web shooters. You know, those were Peter Parker's inventions. So that showed off his smarts as well as his abilities. You know, he was still a genius.
And he tweaked the web the web cartridges for like Hydro Man and other
exactly.
villains. Yeah, that's what I love so much about the 90s cartoon was that they did it right. They showed off his intelligence and you know him running out of web cartridges. You know that posed a problem and that built you know tension up and
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I want the 90s cartoon turned into a movie. That's what I want. Or I just want the 90s cartoon to come back with new
people
episodes.
People are 90s.
Exactly.
Knox has picked the Spectacular Spider-Man. I've actually it's not bad. You know, like Bowie said before. You know, it's
it's really really not.
Just returned one of the volumes from disc.
Yeah. Yeah.
This really was not. It would just the initial animation throws you off if you've been a fan of the 90s one. The animation just kind of it just throws you off. But once you start watching it, it's not terribly kiddie either. Like they have some serious things going on in there, and it gets more so as the series goes along.
There's a like I know we're far off from what we originally were talking about, but. That's just us. I saw somewhere like a bootleg, like a camera of a video, you know, of a little clip from a Spider-Man, like I guess TV series that's coming out in 2012.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And it's gonna. The only thing I saw with it posted with the little video was that what's his name? J.K. Simmons, or mm-hmm. he's gonna play J. Jonah Jameson in the cartoon, and at the end of the I gotta find the video to show to y'all. But at the end of the video, it says like coming 2012 or whatever. So and it looks really good. I mean it looks like a good. I'm excited for it. I was hoping it'd come out this year, but. Unfortunately, no, but
yeah,
I'll definitely have to find that little video and send it to you guys. But yeah, geek question of the week. that's one that I've been thinking about for a while because, you know, there's so many other instances where I think, you know, oh, I would love to see so-and-so do this and so-and-so do that. But those my two were the ones that I thought about for a long time. I guess with that, you know, we are part of the Open Forum Radio Network where there are tons of other podcasts. God, too many for me to remember. You know, Open Forum Radio, the Sportscast, which I think since baseball season's is starting back up, Patriot's going to be doing a lot more of those because he's a big baseball fan. Me, no, I'm not a baseball fan, so I don't listen. I won't be listening to that. Sorry, Patriot. But the 40cast, which is just a great show, just interesting show. Zabari's Section Z cast, which again is another great show. Interesting the way he talks mm-hmm. about games and he introduces the music he picks for those shows. Just amazing. What else? Prove Your Point. Great debate show. You know, I gotta say, it's hard to beat. I haven't listened to the newest one, but did Blue Man lose in that one? Have you guys heard that? Heard the latest?
That was episode 12.
I think the AAA games not doing.
Oh yeah, I started to listen to that one, but I didn't hear the final result though.
I saw something on Twitter. I'm not sure if he lost or not, but it seems like he never loses.
Yeah, but believe me, if he loses, you're gonna hear about it.
But then you got Angry Mailman podcast. That's one of the funniest podcasts I listen to. Those guys are just hilarious. You got the Who Am I Radio, which another great podcast, and I do believe they're on their iTunes feed. If you they're still they're running a contest where any $60 video game for like they'll pick a random person, and I think there's only a few left. I can't remember if they've already got enough, but I think I saw something recently saying, mm-hmm. yeah, I think there's like 6 spots left.
Yeah, if not, they're actually real close. And I'm sorry. Shout out to Anthony Alex of the Angry Mailman podcast. I still haven't done it. I'm going to do it exactly when I finish this podcast. You know, I know I'm going right now to iTunes to do it.
Oh, shame on you.
I know, right?
I did it a long time ago, but he did leave a review on us when we were talking about leaving a review when he was on the show. So, but am I missing any?
I don't think so.
Alrighty. If not, go to, you know, you can find the links on our site or go to openforumradio.com and the links to the podcast are there. You know, our site is thegeeksftw.com and we got a few really good writers and we do post, there are a lot of good gaming deals that are posted up, from time to time, a lot with, to do with mobile games because there are a lot of mobile games like iPhone games. They go on sale like so a lot, you know. There's always some special week where they're, you know, 99 cents for such and such game. But like this past weekend, they had the like on sale and they're going towards, you know, the helping the disaster areas, the victims in Japan. So definitely check that out. Some really good articles. What was Elf's latest article? The one about Will Wheaton?
Yeah.
That was pretty interesting. I like that. Very unique and interesting articles. And if there's anything Halo related, Knox will always have it posted up right away.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, you can find all of the ways to contact us, you know, email, which is thegeeksftw@gmail.com, the Facebook, Twitter, our voice line, all that you can find on our site on every post. You know, you can find our contact page, you know, contact us. We have a few of us, our info's up on there. You know, if you want to know about the writers, there's the About Us section, which I've updated to add Cookie and Stuart. You still have to add Henry.
I do. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, Henry.
Because I thought he sent me it. I thought he sent me the info, and I looked for an email, and then I saw he said, "Oh, well, I sent that to Stuart." So I was like, "Okay, that's on him."
I've got to dig around to find that then.
But yeah. So definitely check out our site. Leave us iTunes reviews. You know, we really appreciate it. I know there are more iTunes listeners out there than there are reviews on our page because I see the statistics.
Yes, we were quite surprised when we saw the latest ones. You know, hey, where are you people? You know,
yeah, where are you people? Feedback.
Yeah, really.
But I'm gonna give away a contest, not iTunes related. Shocker, I know. It seems like every podcast, there's an iTunes, you know, leave an iTunes review and get such and such. Well, not this one. Normally, we record on Mondays at 7:30, around 7:30 Central Standard, 8:30 Eastern. And we tweet about it like crazy, like all day long. You know, oh, there's a show tonight. Oh, show starting in an hour. Oh, 30 minutes, about to start, you know. So if you follow us on Twitter, yeah. And if you follow us on Twitter, check that out. There's a page link on our site. Mm-hmm. But everyone who is in the party or everyone who's in the Ustream, you know, chat, I'm going to write their names down on – oh, my God. I just looked – viewers like you. Oh, my God. Oh, God.
I've been using that for ever since we started doing this.
I just switched back to it and – so, I lost my okay. I'm gonna write down all of the people. You know, 1, 2, 3. Like, what do I have it on right now? I think I have like Dark DJ is one, Ace Black is two, Tin Pan was three, and you know, so forth like that, and just keep going until, you know, it's time for the Gears beta, which the Gears beta starts on the, well, this code is for the one that starts on the 25th, so you got a month. And, you know, if you come multiple weeks, you'll get multiple entries, and I'll randomly pick one on random.org, and whoever name coincides to, you know, the number, will get it. So, Gears of War 3 beta code, and all you got to do is come view our live show, not iTunes related.
Yes.
Which is also a good way to get our bonus, to hear our bonus content if you do not have the Android app. Which we do have the Android, our very own Android podcast companion app on the Android marketplace. That is $1.99, and we're gonna have weekly content. So every episode for the time being, I don't see us stopping because we just talked so much that there's plenty to put for bonus content. So it's definitely worth it, I think. And you can, you know, send us an email straight from that, contact us, you know, voice line, call straight from that on your Android phone, everything, you know, visit the site, all that. It's all there. And it's a pretty nifty app. I have it and Stuart has it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah,
tell us.
Who else has it? Let us know. I personally got it. I don't listen to our podcast, but I got it just because I wanted to say I've got my very own Android app. But I guess with that we can do shout outs. Stuart, shout outs.
I you know, same people I shout out every week, you know, the Riders, Elf, Knox, Cookie. You guys are all awesome. Shout out to I totally blanking on the name. Give me a second. Terry Goodkind. He's the guy who wrote the Sword of Truth series. That's the Legend of the Seat Seeker. I love it.
Which Stuart talks about a little in the bonus content.
Yes.
So, yes. And in the bonus content, I just want to sneak peek real quick. Forgot to mention it. We talk mostly about the Amazon App Store for Android, and we kind of go off on other topics as well, but that's where it starts. So, Stuart or Henry, shout out.
Yeah, man. You know, as always, man, shout out to my wife, shout out to my family, shout out to everyone in the podcasting community. Shout out to Zabari. And if you haven't signed up for his gamer ID spreadsheet, go sign up for it because, hey, there's a lot of games out there that I know I haven't played, like Monday Night Combat. I see everybody's, I guess, picking it up and everybody's got it, but nobody's really playing it. So I want to hop in and use that game that I got. Shout out to Blue Man. Shout out to Scar, Scoba, Pimp and Sherry. Haven't been able to really kind of get on the way I wanted to. Been busy with work and family and everything else or whatever. But, hey, man, just shout out to everybody in the community. Shout out to the world.
And you mentioned Monday Night Combat. That is a $15 game, so
yeah.
Bringing it back around. No, but
well, I caught it when it was on sale.
Oh, good for you. I think it's worth $15. I just haven't gotten my money's worth yet, so I do definitely want to play more of that with everyone. But shout out to Zabari for his gamer ID spreadsheet. I asked him if he was going to update it, and because I didn't want to, you know, mess with it besides my info, and he was like, oh, go right ahead. So I added Crysis 2, Full House Poker, and You Don't Know Jack to it.
Oh, yeah.
Which, shout out.
That was like $15 this past week, right?
Shout out to Amazon because yesterday, which Tuesday. We're recording on Wednesday, but Tuesday Amazon had a special gold box deal where it was like $15.90 something.
Yeah.
So I picked that up for sure because I've been wanting to, but and I saw it for $15, so I was like, hell yeah. So
Oh, quick shout out to Amazon too. I finally got my that controller that we were talking about, that Rocket Fish controller. You got the bonus content, if you got the Android app, I got the Rocket Fish in, so I'm gonna do a comparison video and I'm gonna send it to you so you can upload it.
Alrighty, cool.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to that. I still need to. I guess I'll wait and see how you like it, and because if it's good, I'll definitely pick that up. Like I said last week. I guess shout out to Ace Black, because, you know, him and I were playing Crysis 2 last night for a while, just us, and having some good fun, joking around, just going crazy over the levels, playing them for the first time, you know, saying, oh my god, you know, you can kick a car at somebody and kill them, which I forgot to mention that. not quite Crackdown, but yeah. But shout out to Knucklehead. He joined us too. Really hoping other people will maybe after. Hopefully, we'll get Ace on the show and talk more about it and suggest people to pick it up. Or you know, convince them to, because it's a really good game. It's a really good shooter. I've seen people say that this is. What Halo should be. I know that just makes you just get all mad, Henry, but
no, actually, man, I'm telling you, I'm gonna take away from the fighting community. I'm kind of like a Kuma in Street Fighter. Like, if somebody wants to come take the, you know, the belt and take the crown, that's fine. I'm all for it. But hey, I'm not gonna rest until somebody actually just takes me away from Halo.
Alrighty.
I hate Akuma in Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
I guess shout out to the writers, of course. And I guess shout out to us, because we're just doing podcast weekly, and we haven't had a problem. And well, we've had issues where we had to reschedule, but we've been doing weekly for the longest time, and that's good for us, because we used to have such the most difficulty. Doing it.
And you just jinxed us.
hold on. Knocked on wood.
No, is that particle board or is it actual wood?
It's actual wood. It's a wood table. But and I guess shout out to Cookie, because he just got an Android phone, and I've been tweeting him. I had sent him an email with apps and some ringtones. He did not have any Doctor Who ringtones.
I know, I was so surprised.
I sent him the Doctor Who theme song, the TARDIS, and the Dalek saying exterminate. So
I have I have an app. It's free. Doctor Who gives you a bunch of Doctor Who ringtones.
Oh, that's cool. And I sent him some other gaming related stuff that I think he liked, but
oops. I hit it.
But yeah, he's definitely liking his Android, and I want to take credit. I kind of convinced him to pull the plug and get it, I think.
Yeah, I saw that.
Android fanboy, you know, to the rescue or whatever. I guess that's it for me. Shout outs to the OFRN community. Even though most of you went to PAX and I hate you, I still, you know, I still love you guys. But I still hate you for that. This has been episode 37, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Adios.